Good morning. We will be in Psalm 71, as you see on your outline. If you didn't get an outline, there will be those available to you that you can raise your hand and people will be able to hand them to you. We're going to be talking about living by faith, and we have a psalmist who is definitely doing that in the passage. Roller coasters aren't for everyone. The speed, the erratic motion, the ins and outs and the turns and the twists are fun for a while, but eventually solid ground is even needed by those who are enthusiasts of roller coasters. But in our lesson today in Psalm 71, the life of the psalmist is on a roller coaster, and he's ready to get off. In the context, as we look at the verses themselves, we'll read them here in a minute, but it appears that the psalmist is in his senior years. You can look with me at verse 9. He speaks of being old, and his strength is gone. In verse 18, he speaks again of being old and gray. Now, not all people here are in that category, but some of us are. And if you aren't yet, if God gives you life, you will be. So that is something that we are going to talk about today. But when we also look at the text, he is obviously a child of God, but he speaks of God being with him from birth to youth and then on. So look with me at verse 5. You have been my hope and my confidence since my youth. Verse 6. From birth, I have relied on you. Verse 17, since my youth, God, you have taught me. So many of us can relate to that. So many of us have been raised in the church. You were born into a Christian family. We were. Maybe you were going to church all your life. You went to Vacation Bible School. You went to Christian camps, you were in GAs and RAs, you even went to training union, and you might have done high school Bible. Those are the opportunities that we had as children of God in our generation. Although he didn't have this, he had history with God. He is anonymous and yet very vocal about God taking care of him. And he learned to live by faith. He is trusting God throughout this psalm that we can see his ability to depend on God through his life. And the psalms are prayers and poems. And this psalm is a great way to realize how we can relate to difficult situations, because we'll look in just a minute at the difficulties in his life. His life is a roller coaster of trouble. And as we look at the psalm, we can see that Christians will all their lives have the opportunity to trust God, because God gives us trouble. He gives us opportunities to trust him. And our older years are not always smooth. And you may say, okay, Captain Obvious, tell me something I don't know. And we'll see what God says in these verses. So let's read just the first 13. I have the New International Version, and so that's what I'll be reading from. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you, you who brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who want to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. The very first words in verse 1 are his praise to God, that God is his refuge. We know a refuge is a place of protection, a hiding place, a shelter. And we live in a place that we certainly understand that through tornadoes and hail. And we know the safe place to go to in those times of distress and trouble. And maybe that was a place that you even had to find on Friday night. We are all in a place in Texas where the storms are big. And so we know what to do about that. And so his storm is big, the psalmist's storm. And he also knows to find shelter in the Lord in his storm of trouble. He is showing us the very place to go is to go to the Lord for whatever is going on in our lives. And right out of the box, he gives prayer requests. And so at the end of verse 1, he is saying, let me never be put to shame. Shame means to humiliate or disgrace. And I think what he is saying is, Lord, living by faith isn't easy. And I don't ever want to disgrace you or discredit you by the way I speak or by the way I live. But he's in a difficult place, and it's not hard to fall off the cart when we are in a difficult place. And he is aware of that. Then in verse 2, he says, his next prayer request is, in your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. So he is asking the Lord to stop the problem, but he also is letting us know that he understands everything God does is right. Because he says, in your righteousness, deliver and rescue me. So he is just reminding us that he understands God's ways are perfect. And don't we know when we pray that we have in mind what we think God should surely do in our situation, but are you like me and it sometimes just doesn't look like that at all? But so he is reminding us that God will always do what's right. Then he says in verse 4, save me from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. So that we better understand who he's talking about, in verse 10 we read, plural, enemies speak against me, those who wait to kill me conspire together. Then in verse 13, plural again, may my accusers perish in shame and those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. So this is not just one person, there are several. We don't know how many, but they are against him. He says to conspire and to kill. And this may be David, a psalm of David. So many of the psalms are written by David. But it certainly could fit because Saul was against David and tried to kill him. And Absalom, his son, was against him and tried to kill him. So it may be that those are the ones involved. But this psalm refers to people who are causing him trouble, and that may be your state. There may be people in your life who are causing you trouble. But then trouble is trouble. So what's unique, I think, about the psalms is we don't always hear the very situation. We hear the concept. And so we are able then to transfer that situation to ourselves and spiritually understand our trouble may be multiplied by our difficult health or multiplied by difficult finances or multiplied by an unkind family member or multiplied by a difficult child. So God gives us the ability, because it's a little bit vague, and we can transfer that and own it because it makes sense to us and we can relate to what the psalmist is talking about. Starting in verse 3, he preaches to himself and reviews what he knows. In verse 3, he says, in his relationship to God, no, it's 4. So listen to the words, verse 4, my God, verse 5, my hope, my confidence, verse 7, my strong refuge. He is saying, my relationship to God is of confidence because I belong to Him and He belongs to me. But He also is quoting attributes of God, which I counted them as I was reading and rereading this. He mentions 37 times the attributes of God. And so he loves God, he knows God loves him, and he is making an expression of not only relationship, but awareness of sovereignty and respect for who God is. Then in verses 5 and 6, he remembers that God is trustworthy because he says, you've been my confidence, and I have relied on you. And he is telling us that God had helped him in the past, and he believes God will help him in the future. He, like we, have history with God, and we can remember ways God has helped us, and we can then take that information and transfer it to what we can know he will do in the future. God had been faithful in the past, and he would be faithful, he believed, again. Then in verse 7, others had watched how he responded to difficulties when he says, I have become a sign to many that you are my strong refuge. Well, we know a sign points the way to something. Exit here for Bucky's or exit 46 for whatever it is you may want to go to. And your New American Standard uses marvel. I have become a marvel to many. Marvel is a wonder or a curiosity, and he is saying that people can't figure me out because I say, you are my strong refuge. Have you ever been in a situation when you have really tried to honor the Lord and trust him, and maybe someone says to you, how in the world can you be so calm? What makes you be able to go through this without freaking? And then you have the privilege to say, it's because of God. God gets me through this, and I trust him. He's done it before, and I don't know what he's going to do, but I trust him again. Tom Constable says, when people have trusted God over a lifetime and have seen him deliver them from many trials, it becomes easier for them to trust God in present difficulties. So when we review God's faithfulness in the past, it helps us to have confidence for the future, and that's what he's doing. But starting in verse 9, his emotions are in a nosedive. And he then asks God, will he forsake him? Will he cast him away? And we know that God does not cast away his children. He does not forsake them. We are privileged to have the New Testament. Jesus left by saying, I'm with you always, in Matthew 28. And then in Hebrews, God tells us that I will never leave you or forsake you. But the psalmist didn't have those New Testament verses we have, but he had Psalm 31. And if you aren't familiar with those two verses, 6 and 8 of Psalm 31, they are golden. Because God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. That is when Moses is talking to the people of Israel about Joshua taking over for him. And he had history with God, and he was reminding the people of Israel, you can trust God. Here's your new leader, and he will work through your new leader just like he worked through me. And so the psalmist knew that, it appears, and maybe God just told him. But we know that Satan knows our Achilles heel. He knows where we're vulnerable and where we're weak, where we're easy to fall. Emotions and feelings can weaken our faith, and stress can cause us to forget what we know. And that's what's happening here. The stress of the situation he's in has put him in a nosedive emotionally. But I wonder, has that ever happened to you? Did you ever cram for a test and go blank the minute that test started? Or did you ever have a job interview and go blank when you were first asked those pertinent questions? Sometimes the stress can do that, And that's what's happening here, because we've seen the psalmist knows scripture, he knows God's attributes, he remembers all God's done in the past, but now he's in a stressful situation and he forgets what he knows, temporarily, but he forgets. So we can remember that trusting God's faithfulness is our anchor when life is difficult. And I've given you a statement there on your outline that living by faith means trusting God with everything we cannot understand or control. Living by faith means trusting God with everything we cannot understand or control. Troubles are like fertilizer. They stink. But God can use them to grow our faith. Just like fertilizer grows flowers and grass, troubles can be the fertilizer that help grow our faith and help us to trust God more. So I wonder, are you able to trust God when he leads you into a storm? Are you able to trust God when he allows you or someone you love to be in a difficult health situation? Are you able to trust God when he calls you to forgive, but you're the one who was wronged? Are you able to trust God when he allows you to struggle with depression or loneliness? Are you able to trust God when he allows our world to be dark and our country to be in chaos? God is our firm foundation during the roller coasters of life. So there is a unique style in the Psalms, and sometimes you can pick it up and you can hear, and the author pivots and everything changes. His focus changes. His prayer changes. He is now focusing on God, not his difficult situation. Starting in verse 14, we see a central theme. And that central theme begins with several I wills. Six times, that's why I chose the word commitment. Six times the psalmist says, I will. So he is making a commitment to God. So let's look at verses 14, and I'm going to stop at 22. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, who is like you, God? Though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel. So here he is starting out making a vertical commitment to hope in God. We know hope is not across your fingers, I hope another storm doesn't hit. It is, I am trusting God. I have the blessed assurance that God is going to take care of my situation. He has in the past, and he will again. The New American Standard, again, is a little bit different. And it, your version, if you have New American Standard, says, I will wait continually. Mine, New International, is, I will hope. And your New American Standard is, I will wait. We don't like to wait, do we? Whenever you walk into a restaurant and there are people all sitting down and standing, what's the first thing you say to the host or hostess? How long is the wait? And because we will make the decision whether or not we'll stay or leave. But that's why we buy into Amazon Prime. We don't like to wait for that shipment to come. There's a difference in Amazon Prime and God Prime because he tells us 1,000 years are as a day. And God is not bound by time, so time means nothing to him. in terms of what how it means to us, but it means everything to him because he has a plan. And as we think about God, we like microwaves. He likes crock pots, slow cookers. And seldom does he work fast, but when he does, it is rocket speed. There are so many times that you have told me, or I've seen it happen, or have it happen, that you just turn around and all of a sudden everything is so much better. And God did that. But here, it seems to be slower. And that is typically the case. But again, the psalmist is choosing to leave his problem in God's capable hands. And so he is saying, even if I don't see results for my prayer request in a brief time, I'm going to trust you because I know you'll handle it as you should. And 2 Chronicles 20:12 is just a great verse, and you probably know it, but Jehoshaphat is in a situation where an army is coming in and he is praying before the people of Israel. And one of his statements is, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And so that is what Jehoshaphat is saying, but that's, I think, what the psalmist is saying here. I don't know what you're going to do, God, but I'm going to trust you through it. So he made a vertical commitment, and now he is making a horizontal commitment, starting in verse 15, to proclaim God's attributes. He is saying, I want to live long enough to tell the next generation that you're sovereign, you're powerful, you're righteous, you're faithful. And because we know Scripture is our teacher and tells us how we should live, God wants us to do the same thing. He also wants us to tell those who come behind us how faithful God is, that they can trust him too. F.B. Meyer says, let us think of those who are following us and see to it that we have behind a record of God's righteousness and salvation. Let us place a flaming torch in the hands of our children and grandchildren for them to pass on. Let us tell of God's strength and power to those who are to come. We all have had spiritual memories, situations in our lives where we had a need that only God could have met. And so what he is saying is, I want to tell my children and my grandchildren what you have done and what I believe you will do here and in my future. Last year, David and I we have two adult grandchildren, and we chose to meet with them. We had reminisced, and we still do, but reminisced how God had worked in our lives in significant ways. And we agreed that we wanted our grandchildren to hear those things from us so that we could do exactly what this psalm is saying we should do. And I'm curious what they remember. I don't know, but we know that we gave this information to them, and that's the Lord's to recall for them. But long before they were born, we gave them several instances that God had worked in our lives, and I want to tell you one. It's probably the top on my list forever, because I stayed at home for 20 years, and never worked. And when our first son was accepted into Baylor, I knew in my heart that I needed to go to work. And this was long before all the internet invite and Indeed and all of these things that you can get online now to do so much easier. And so, you know, that was back when you went to the newspaper or you knocked on doors or you asked friends. And so the day came that I knew that I needed to start praying about it. We have two sons. They were at school. David was at work. And I had a place where I prayed in this different house. But anyway, I was on my knees and I began to cry because I knew this was not going to be, it was not what I wanted to do. I loved staying home, but it was not the time to live that way, and now we're going to change. And so I said, Lord, I don't have a clue what to do. I don't know where to begin. I don't know where to ask. I don't know who to ask. I don't know. Do I go to Doors? Do I go to the paper? I am in the dark. I do not know what to do. And as I prayed, I finally just said, Amen. The minute I said, Amen, the wall phone just on the other side of the chair where I was in front of rang, and I stood up to reach it, and the man on the other end of the call was a man here at church, and he said, I've been praying this morning about someone to come to work for me, and God brought you to my mind, and I wonder, would you like to come in and consider working here for me? Well, I couldn't say yes quick enough, but I still thank the Lord for that, because only God could have done that. There is no way that that would have happened except God knew my need, and He met my need. And so we told our grandchildren, I did. God will do that for you, and you can trust Him. It may not look like mine, and it will not, I can promise you, but it'll have its own look for you, and you can trust Him. But I also know that we here can talk about spiritual memories with each other. When you tell me about a situation that God has worked in your life, you encourage me. And although your situation will not look like my situation, when you say what God has done for you, you help me forget my situation, my problems, and you allow me to look at God and go, wasn't that wonderful what God did for you? And we have spiritual memories, and I think that's just a great way that we can encourage each other. And you can write them down or just remember them, but as the psalmist then recalls in verses 20 through 22, he says, I know that you are going to be there for me. And he is recalling how God was there in the past and would be there for him in the future. But look with me how things change again, starting in verse 23. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. So it appears that God answered his prayer, and he must have stopped at verse 22, waiting to see what God would do. And aren't we grateful that he finished the poem to let us know that God had answered his prayer? And as I looked at that, I thought, you know, God, I've got a list that I'm still waiting on answers. And I know probably you have that list too. One or more things. So as we wait for God to answer our prayer, like this psalmist waited, he then says in verse 24, my tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. He was saying God is always deserving of praise, whether we're waiting on an answer or whether we have an answer. So again, the statement I gave you is living by faith means trusting our future to the one who controls every tomorrow. Living by faith means trusting our future to the one who controls every tomorrow. We know that in Lamentations, starting in verse 22, Lamentations 3. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. So just like unexpected twists and turns of roller coasters, we don't know how life will turn out, but God does, and we can trust him to do what is right. So what? We have learned. Because God is faithful, we can trust him through every season of life. J. Vernon McGee says, as we grow old, let us not talk about our aches and pains. Let's rejoice in the Lord and sing his praises. When life is in a nosedive, remind yourself you're simply diving into the bottomless ocean of God's faithfulness. Matthew has mentioned Sarah Groves, who wrote, "He's always been faithful." And I didn't know he was as aware of that as he was when he mentioned it a long time back, but it's just a favorite to me. And so I've written just a bit of her phrasing in her beautiful song, "Morning by morning, I wake up to find the power and comfort of God's hand in mine. Season by season, I watch him amazed in awe of the mystery of his perfect ways. All I have need of, his hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me." Would you pray with me? Holy Father, we proclaim that truth, that we can trust you to be faithful because you've been faithful in the past, and you will be through every season of life. Father, I pray for each of us because we are in the place of watching you work and trusting your hand in our lives. And I pray for each of us that you would help us to trust you when we can't see what you're doing. Would you remind us that we can trust you to do always what is right? I thank you that you are trustworthy and that you love us so much that you have sent us the Holy Spirit to undergird us, to be our anchor when life is difficult. Thank you for your words in Scripture, for your truths that just buoy us and give us the hope and the assurance that we need to face life. Lord, I thank you for our friends here and for the relationships that you are allowing us to establish with each other. Would you bless the day, I pray, for the pastor as he speaks your word. He is so faithful to you, and I pray that you would bless him. Would you bless our church with not only depth of spiritual memories, but also width of numbers? Father, I pray for Matthew and his family as they are having a break. Would you give them a fun time at the beach and help them to be safe? In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't want to be Matthew, but this is what he does. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. Have a great day.